There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Male grooming, is it booming? That's the question we are asking this morning. And why are we asking it? Well, there are so many phrases that do the rounds when we discuss this one at the moment. Male grooming, manscaping.
You got with manscaping at the top of the program.
Metro metrosexuality when it comes to men being in touch with their grooming side or the ability for them to use as many products as possible. Basically, I think all these phrases that are doing the rounds and going into urban dictionaries at the moment encompasses this idea of men who take pride in their appearance and spend time achieving the desired well-groomed look. They are increasingly spending money on rejuvenating facials and laser-guided trimmers. Now, does this ring true with you? Global market for male grooming products is projected to reach $223 billion. That's $60.7 billion by 2020. That's according to latest figures from Euromonitor. In 2015, it was valued at $17.5 billion. So work that one out. $70.5 billion up to $60.7 billion by 2020 in dollar terms. This reflects the broader rise of the men's grooming industry as a whole, which includes shaving products, fragrances, and toiletries. According to a 2013 report from Euromonitor International, the UA's male grooming products market, which includes shaving devices and hair and skincare products, is currently worth about 208 million dirhams, 740 million dirhams, once trips to the barbers, spa and beauty clinics are taken into consideration. New barbershop concepts are also gaining popularity in the Middle East, where male clients are often just as particular about their appearance as women are. Meanwhile, the global wellness industry is a $3.7 trillion market. World travellers made 691 million wellness trips in 2015, 104.4 million more than in 2013. Look, I am bombarding you with statistics, facts and figures at the moment. What the point I'm trying to making is that male grooming, as with skincare in general, is booming at the moment. Why is that the case and how has that transpired in your household? One of the reasons I want to have this conversation is not just on the back of these new figures, but equally on the fact that we are being taught in different ways, if you like. I mean, it's interesting seeing the resurgence of the barbershop, the traditional barbershop. I was back in London recently, and the number of barbershops that you see,
yes, trendy
on the streets at the moment with very sort of trendy concepts and different approaches is refreshing. It sort of takes me back to days of lore and days of old, because they were a thing of the past. They sort of dead, they disappeared a little bit. They have come back into the public arena in a big way, and not just in the UK, also here in the UAE, when we've seen some very successful concepts being used by some big names and celebrities coming to town as well, helping to push those brands. So is that part and parcel of the male grooming boom at the moment, or is that just a sign of the times? Do send your thoughts with us on this one. Has it become more acceptable for males to groom?
Unfortunately, yes, it definitely has. It's become much more acceptable for men to be really, 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 really vain. And I don't like it at all. I find it very odd. I find it very odd seeing guys sort of posing in front of the mirror. I find it odd that men are starting to use makeup. I find it odd that guys seem to know more about moisturizer than I do. I find it all, I just find it all a bit weird. I guess it's okay. I don't want a smelly man in my life. I like people to be washed. But I think I mean, I hate doing this, but I hate pointing to Instagram to blame social media. But I think the reality is that people are much more worried about how they look nowadays. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing.
We will be hearing from a number of well-known individuals with regards to their skincare routines, their male grooming routines as well. But I'd love to get the thoughts of you, our dedicated listener out there as well. How is your skincare regime trained? Is it something that you're very particular about? Is it something that you spend more time, money and interest on here in the UAE because of the extreme heat and the effects of the weather, the day-to-day weather here. One more thing I want to throw at you as part of this one, and this was a survey that caught my eye. It's a question, I suppose, that, you know, a few people might irk away from, if you like, and that's not irk it away from. It's just the whole thing of hair, because hairy chests used to be a sign of virility. There was a day when hairy chests were seen as something that that was fairly normal. It was something, you know, it was something that men did, you know. And once you did it, buttons in your shirt sort of disappeared. Well,
normal now?
Well, according to Mintel report, 60% of 16 to 24 year olds would regularly remove their body hair these days.
Elements of it.
13% have removed their chest hair in the last year. 12% have shaved their armpits. And one in three...
They've shaved their armpits?
That's 12% of those that were surveyed. And one in three removed their lower leg hair as well. Now,
oh, that's right. If you're a cyclist, that's okay. But otherwise, there's no
one
excuse.
In three? That's a third of us.
What's going on?
I want to know this whole idea. What's the correct word about it? Is it depilation? Depilation? To depilate.
Depilatory exercises.
Depilation. Okay, let's go with that one. I've made
shaving.
It up then. why have things like that changed? Because in the age when barbershops are booming at the moment, the age when millennials are wearing bigger and better and well-groomed beards, where's this trend come from
our hair? Yeah, why do they want more hair on their faces and less hair on their legs? Who cares about their legs? When has a woman ever looked at a man's legs and gone, oh, wow, well, I'm definitely going to date you. Look at your legs.
I blame Love Island. Do you as well? Not a single piece of, chest hair on any of that island at the moment. But do share your thoughts with us. I want to go to get some expert thoughts in just a few moments' time. In fact, we're going to be hearing from one of the UAE's finest barbers on this subject, somebody who's benefiting from the boom at the moment, but I'd love to get their thoughts as to why the boom is so prevalent here in the UAE. DJ Rust, Operations Manager of Chaps & Co, will be joining us after these. Thanks very much indeed to Albert, who's been in touch. My advice, my father's advice to me was always get a professional haircut. Pay more when you change your hairstyle. You can pay less when you just want to refresh it. And use a hairdryer. Now, interesting advice to get from your dad, but thank you very much indeed, Albert. What about you, GT?
Very interesting. I suppose your dad's there to advise you in all circumstances. My husband uses a hairdryer to dry his entire body. Okay. He doesn't use a towel. I don't know why, but he insists on using the hairdryer. In fact, when I go away, I'm not allowed to take the hairdryer with me. It's a very strict rule.
We have got results and figures suggesting that the world of male grooming is booming at the moment. Georgia and I are trying to get to the bottom as to why the UAE is integral to those results. We're seeing this global trend at the moment. It's got to be down to the cosmetics companies, surely.
Well, you think that the marketing is working?
Yes.
It's just marketing. You don't think that there's a deep-rooted desire in men to be clean-shaven all over their bodies? All over. I haven't got over the one in three men shaving their legs. That is not cycling. That is men shaving their legs. That's weird.
You and I were talking about hairdressers just a little earlier.
Yes.
And for many years, the word or the term hairdresser was synonymous with women, with females. Not so the case these days as well. Although the change has seen also a sort of change in the approach to hairdressers and, of course, the resurgence of barbers. And barbers have good reason to feel confident, according to results of a new beauty industry report. Sally Salon Services give an annual Beautiful Britain report where they survey the majority of salons across the UK. They revealed that 73% of barbers were optimistic about the year to come, 10% higher than the industry average, and 58% claiming to have seen an increase in the number of men visiting them for treatments. More than a fifth said that customers were willing to spend more money than they were a year ago. Customers of barbershops have increased, not just in the UK, over in the US, in large parts of the world, and none more so than here in the UAE. However, it's fair to say that barbers have been a tradition and part of the culture here in the region for many, many years. One person who has seen a rise in numbers, or have they, is the operations manager of Chaps & Co., one of the best respected and loved barbers here in the region. DJ Russ joins us live on the line now. DJ, thanks for your time this morning.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Let's just start with those numbers, if we can. I mean, completely granted, those are figures coming out of the UK at the moment, but they are sort of indicative and they are reflective of a rising number of customers using barbershops the world over. Is that the same here in the UAE?
100%. I think, you know, if we look at the industry as a whole and the evolution of it, you know, like you said earlier, traditionally barbers are really a well-established sector out here already. However, if you look at it for the future ahead, people are more refined in their choices and what they would expect from barbers. So for that reason, it has grown. It's grown from smaller shops, it's grown into brands and chains, and people are really investing time and money into this whole concept.
If you in other parts of the world, people might sort of, you know, smile and have a little giggle about the whole concept of male grooming. Is it fair to say, do you think, DJ, that that's not so the case here, that men here in the UAE, across the whole of the Middle East region, have invested more in their looks and in their male grooming than maybe they might have in other parts of the world?
100%. In this part of the world, what we're experiencing is that it's not a simple one-step program for men anymore. Men actually take time, invest money into it again to come back for courses of experiences with us. You know, it's not just buy a facial cream and apply it once a day in the morning. You know, men are now looking at a 2-3-step kind of course program, and they will maintain themselves at home, but then make sure they book themselves into professional establishments where they do get the deeper and intenser look into their current skin conditions or what it would be.
And what about the sort of concept that, you know, there has been this idea in the past, you know, the traditional barbershop approach, that you go and see a male barber because a male barber knows what you want, whether it be short back and sides or otherwise. Is that changing as well? Are we seeing more sort of cross-gender in terms of men looking to women for influences as well?
I would say it's, in our experience, it's more the other way around. We, as a barbershop, we actually have a lot of women who inquires with us to book in services with us. You know, so, you know, I'm sure, you know, the fashion industry as a whole, you know, is becoming so almost, you know, sexless in a way. You know, if you look at, you know, men's hairstyles these days, and women's hairstyles, just in many ways you could create a lot of familiarities between them. But from our experience, we actually have a lot of women inquiring with us, bringing men's haircuts to us and say, please, can you do this for us?
Can I ask, I've heard a rumour that one of the reasons why the guys out here look so sort of sharp is because they have their beard line lasered. And so all the hair above the sort of line that they want, they have it lasered so that they can, you know, maintain that sort of sharp look. Is this true?
Yes, that is true. There is laser concepts where you can actually remove the hair. However, it's not always 100% effective. It's also not very, perhaps not the healthiest approach for your skin. It's something that you can do a short course of, and it's lasts for a shorter period of time, but if you wanted to maintain that, you would have to continuously do that, which again would have a negative effect on your skin. But yes, that is true. It is something that is being done.
And I know that you obviously work dealing with, you know, the hair on the head, but do you ever sort of venture elsewhere on the male body? Are you ever required to sort of to do the full grooming experience, so
careful,
to speak?
Careful, you two.
So I'm going to answer the question, be very honestly. In this part of the world, you'll be very surprised how many men do venture and make sure that, you know, hair is trimmed everywhere. Now, from our side, as a company or as a barbershop, we do offer the full range of services, like, you know, for hair removals and waxing and so forth. We do offer only by male therapists, you know, areas which is, you know, brief line areas. That's taken care of.
Wow, I'm actually blushing in the studio, which is quite impressive. I don't normally blush.
You asked the question.
I did ask the question. My hands are up.
In terms of, DJ, just in terms of how you keep ahead of the competition, because obviously we mentioned it's a competitive market, we're seeing more and more barbershops and salons opening up across the city, across the region. How do you stay ahead of the curve?
The curve is created by the customer, and it is the feedback of the customer and the wants and the desires of the customer. That's what we focus on. The whole business concept is focused on what does the client actually need. Now, from our, just say where we started off, we first handedly experienced the evolution of the growth in again, dermacare, skincare, hair care, waxing hairs and so on. Men are asking more about it. Men are inquiring more about it. And when you realize men are more inquisitive and more, would like to explore further with it, it's our approach is then to facilitate that, to speak to the right brands, perhaps, as a simple example, Gentleman's Tonic from London, based in Mayfair, to ensure that we set up the right partnerships, get the right professionals in that can facilitate this for our customers and provide the good or the best quality products out there.
DJ, always good to catch up with you. Thanks very much indeed for your time. All the best for the summer months and for the new season ahead, and to all the team down at Chaps & Co. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
DJ Russ there, Operations Manager. Chaps & Co. here in Dubai. If you want to find out more, check them out online. We're talking male grooming. When did male body hair become a bad thing? The question I'm asking this is that times were that a hairy chest used to be a sign of virility. And then all things changed, didn't they? We found that Mintel, or I should say, found that 60% of 16 to 24-year-olds now regularly remove part of their body hair. 13% confirmed that they had removed their chest hair in just the last year. 12% said that they shaved their armpits regularly, and 1 in 3 remove the lower leg hair as well. Why is this indicative? Do women find body hair attractive these days? Is it changing? Is that whole idea changing? Or can we blame it on Love Island and others as well? We could blame it on Daniel Craig coming out of the sea in that 007 film, can't we? In his blue swimming trunks and nothing much else.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Abdul in Jumeirah has pinpointed precisely that type of scenario. He says that in the media, when strong or powerful men are displayed shirtless, it's frequently with a groomed, shaved chest. So men are falling into the same kind of social influence that affects women who are trying to be thin or whatever else women are shamed into thinking they should look like. Media says this is what a strong, powerful man who is attractive to women looks like, and men who want to be seen like that imitate it.
Let's get some more thoughts on this one. Let's go to the lines. I'd like to speak to Adnan, who joins us live on the line now from Satwa. Morning, Adnan.
Good morning. Good morning, Tom.
Nice to hear from you, my friend. Thanks so much indeed for getting in touch. Talk to us about your male grooming routines. Have you found that they've become do you male groom more these days than you did in the past?
Male usually do, but I don't. because the concept of manscaping kindly just like it just scares me. I'm like, why do men have to shave their chest, legs, and the parts of the body? I'm like, men are made to do born this way with their hair on their body. I'm like, people who are shaving their beards, and I'm like, beards, not in the sense that shaving beard is wrong or something, but the men are supposed to look masculine.
And you think that's a traditional part? Because we do live in a part of the world where the elements of hair removal are part and parcel of a cultural past here as well. But for you, that idea of hair is this idea of masculinity, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And besides, I'm like, for me, I have some hair on my body. I'm like, throughout, even my wife, my mother, they say, like, when you're shirtless, you look like a bear.
Bears are nice, though. They're cuddly.
Well,
when they're
teethy,
but anyway.
But the fun part is all this hair on my body, but I think, I'm like, in winter, it keeps me warm. So why should I remove it?
And has your wife ever sort of had that conversation with you, saying, Adnan, have you ever thought about removing some of that hair or not?
She every now and then she tries to convince me. Like, okay, one day when you'll be sleeping, I'll just fax you up. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, she's just jokingly saying, like, every time is there any TV ad of wax or something on the TV? And she's looking at me, one day. There is only one day that I'm going to use that stuff on you.
You'd have to be more than sleeping, I'm pretty sure, than that.
I have to sleep with one of my eye open.
Adnan, lovely to chat with you. You put a smile on our face this morning. Thanks so much indeed for your call. Adnan there talking about his approach to male grooming. But what about your approach to male grooming as well? Plenty of text messages coming in on today's show, so thank you very much indeed for those. 4001, as I mentioned, is the best way for you to get involved. Abdul's been in touch with us this morning saying he's been listening to the programme, and whilst he's been listening, there's been a pop-up adverts appearing in front of him talking about hair transplants and more. Does that come within male grooming, though? The new concept of hair transplants and follicles being replaced, is that male grooming?
Oh, hugely. Because
it's surgery, though, isn't it?
Well, it's a bit like Botox. It sort of covers the two factors. It's sort of it's the opening gambit towards major surgery. But guys, one of the big things that men worry about is losing their hair. And this new way of sort of transposing follicles can totally reverse that. It's awesome.
Thanks very much indeed to Abdul also for sending in, saying to my instructions to my barber are very simple. Don't you dare make me look girlish or beautiful. So obviously Abdul goes for
There's such a variation between barbers. So you've either got the barbers near the mosques where it's literally short back and side, or you've got these really, really fancies like Wafiq, which has like gold, it's on Al Manara, it's got like gold gates. And my husband's been there. And it's like they do a whole sort of reveal once you have your hair done. So you look at yourself in the mirror and they do your hair and they sort of sort it out. They'd say, what do you want, and sort of twiddle bits of the hair. And then you turn around to have your hair done. And then there's a big reveal moment where you suddenly get to see how good you look.
Yeah, but I think that's something that you'd find anywhere in the world, isn't it?
Wait a second. Is this what you have done?
No, but I have been to the 15 dirham barbers in Berdubai and Satwar and other parts of the city, as I used to go to very cheap barbers back in London when I was living in London. But equally, I suppose I've been to the more top-end ones where you get to sit down, get offered
coffee.
An espresso, you get to watch The Sopranos, all seasons of it, whilst having a haircut and a shave. And it's more of an indulgence, isn't it? And I suppose it appeals to whoever and whatever you want. But I suppose that therefore comes into this argument. If you can get your haircut for 15 dirhams, how much do men spend on their haircuts?
I want to know, how much is the most you've ever spent on an indulgent sort of treat haircut? What's the most you've ever spent? I mean, I spend 1,200 dirhams every time I go to the hairdresser.
We're different, though.
Yeah, I've got more hair, yes. And it has to be made blonde.
I would not... See, I'm going to lose listeners now, aren't I?
No, it's okay to admit that it's a treat you went and spent.
I still do go to a really nice boutique down in DIFC. Boutique is the wrong word. Salon down in DIFC. The Ritz-Carlton DIFC, run by a really, really cool bunch down there. And I just enjoy it. I enjoy the experience. I enjoy it. I know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get a good service. 250-odd?
That's okay. I mean, it's quite expensive, but, you know, you're on telly. You do have to look quite smart. You know, your presentation is important. It's not like you're just some dude that, you know, works in IT. You have to look acceptable.
Never, ever speak badly about IT, especially
when I'm in front of a computer.
Surrounded by...
But the deal is, you are on camera all the time. It's sort of part of your working budget.
True. Okay, I'll take that one.
You know, like stationery.
Stuart's been in touch with us as well. I mean, but that's fine. I want to hear from others out there. Well, how much do you spend on your haircuts? Is it something that you would feel comfortable about talking about? Is it something you feel comfortable admitting as well? And is there much difference? That's the one thing I want to know. Can you tell the difference? I think you can. That's the thing. If you go for a 150 dirham haircut compared to a 1,500 dirham haircut, I say you, as in ladies out there, you sort of notice the difference, don't you? You do notice the difference.
Yes. Yeah, oh yeah, there is
you
a difference.
You get that moment where you come back and you say, do you notice anything different? And you go, yeah. Whereas men go, I think that is there a difference between a 15 dirham haircut and a 1,500? Not that you'll find a 1,500 dirham man's cut, but let's say a 250 dirham haircut as opposed to a 25 dirham haircut. Is there much that of a difference?
I think there's a difference. I, as far as my husband is concerned and you are concerned, who are the two men that I ever look at their hair, because I have to sit opposite you for long periods of time. Yes, it makes a difference. Stop raising your eyebrows at me.
Stuart Casty's been in touch with an interesting one. Stuart, is this tongue-in-cheek or is this for real? He says, I have a three-hour daily commute and I have no lower leg hair due to friction.
No, come on. That's nonsense.
Let's not laugh, because this is either...
What are you frictioning your legs against? What, you're frictioning them against each other? With what, you got sandpaper in the footwell of your car?
A lot of men do have no lower leg hair, though. Have you noticed that?
No.
Lots of people do. I noticed it a lot in the UK recently, because
really?
One of the downsides of the beautiful weather that London's having at the moment is that the majority of Britons have taken to their one pair of shorts that they own.
Oh, ghastly, yeah. Knobbly knees, white toes.
And I understand that, obviously, there's not a huge, you know, that's part of the world where you don't get a huge amount of sunlight during the year, and therefore a lot of people will wear long trousers, and as a result of that, they don't get much... Does that commute? Because I often make this thing about sort of lack of sunlight to having not much hair at the on your lower leg. Does that commute? I don't even know if there's any medical.
Do you need to be hairier to protect your skin? Do you know, I've never actually given men's hair or body hair so much thought in my life, and it's actually slightly disturbing me.
Good. Okay, well, that's what we're here for. Thanks also to this one that's just come through. Shaving armpit hair is quite common here in the Arab world. This is much more hygiene. I also used Botox for my armpits due to excessive sweating. Shaving hands, legs or chest is quite weird to me. And shaving the back is also common with many of my friends, as the hair creates a lot of discomfort while wearing shirts and T-shirts. So this is moving it further into a new realm as well. We've been talking about geographical specific grooming habits. We've touched on the fact that there is a cultural precedent here in the UAE and across other Arab parts of the world. Is that something that you've come round to as well? If excess hair can be uncomfortable to you in these warm and sweltering conditions, that's something that you've looked at and maybe changed with your approach to male grooming in years gone by. Demand for hair and beauty treatments amongst men has increasingly grown above industry trends over recent years. Professionals around the world have done an incredible job in broadening their offerings to appeal to both male and female customers. That's from Warren Scar, who says that he works in the business. Thank you for that one, Warren, for keep them coming in. Loads coming in on 4001. We've had Adnan, who we spoke to a little earlier on. He said that he agreed with Georgia, saying that the whole concept of shaving and over manscaping often scares me. I'm a man, I like my hair on my body. Thank you for that. Thanks also to Adele, who came in with us as well, saying, I think more than cosmetic companies, the media is responsible for the changes in male behaviour. You mentioned Love Island, Tom. I did, yeah, but there are many other examples which has resulted in a cultural shift, which resulted in men, particularly younger men, being led to believe that having a shaved chest or legs is considered to be more desirable. Just my two cents and fills. Adel, much appreciated. Lots of you texting through saying another thing to note is the cultural perspective to hygiene. We're keeping clean underarms is prevalent in many parts of the world. You're right, thanks. We've also dealt with that one here as well this morning, so keep your thoughts coming through on that one as well.
Georgia. Manish in Jebel Ali says, it's a personal choice to shave your chest. A few percentage of men do get it done. I did a few times on my own and a couple of times in the salon in my lifetime. Meanwhile, Crystal in Jumeirah says, I find hairless chest to be extremely unattractive. It's kind of creepy to think of what most guys would do to get a hairless chest. Not only that, it seems way too high maintenance for me. I'm not interested in a guy that's going to spend more money on waxing than me. No, thank you.
One man who has been a pin-up for the shaved chest. A number of the footballers that you're seeing in the FIFA World Cup at the moment, but also a certain David Beckham, who has made millions with his alliances with fashion industry and skincare products. Let's hear from blogger Robin James, who posts weekly tips for men's hair, grooming, style and lifestyle videos. He actually sat down with DB David Beckham and asked him about his secret to looking so good.
I think, you know, I try to keep it very simple. You know, I'm not kind of, it doesn't take me like 2 hours to kind of, you know, moisturise, shower in the morning. But moisturise is something that, you know, I always go for. Eye cream, I think, is important morning and evenings. Wash regularly, obviously. And hydrate. You know, hydration is such a big part of the way you look, the way you feel. So yeah, that's my, not tips, but that's what I do.
And I suppose you're traveling so much, like, is there one product that you think that's got to be in my sort of travel bag?
I think the moisturizer is always one that, you know, because you have to stay hydrated in many different ways, you know, the amount of water that you drink, you know, and things like that. But moisturizer is something that I think is always in the bag.
Growing up, you were kind of like the idol of like how you looked in terms of style and grooming. A kind of term that you were kind of the poster boy of was like the metrosexual, of someone that looked after themselves. How do you think that, I suppose, that dynamic has changed for young guys now?
Well, I definitely think, you know, people have always talked about me being part of that kind of transition with guys, but I think it's part of culture now. You know, it wasn't 15 years ago. I think when I started first, you know, getting that label, it was kind of, you know, it wasn't the normal thing for people to talk about or say. But I think these days it's a lot more common, and people, and men specifically, look after themselves a lot more than they did 15 years ago. So I'm glad to have been a small part of that culture, and you know, I'm still like it now.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.